The scripture this morning comes from John chapter 4, verses 1 through 15. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard, Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus himself but his disciples who baptized, he left Judea and started back to Galilee. But he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Bless you. And Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flock drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Debbie Allen and I were talking with Pastor Debbie about this Sunday, and we knew that Debbie was a little bit preoccupied with getting ready to go over to Saudi Arabia. So I volunteered to bring the message this morning, basically saying I'll sort of introduce Cynthia Bourgeau's book as a sort of a prelude to encourage people to come to the book group, or to the adult education session. So that's what I'm going to do, to show how perhaps this wonderful passage of scripture lends itself to some of the themes that Cynthia is putting forth in her book on wisdom. But I wanted to say just one little thing first about this story. You know, Paul had a rough time trying to convince Peter and the others that he should be spreading the gospel to the Gentiles. He could have used this passage to justify that if Jesus was basically offering his word and his spirit to this Samaritan woman, why not everyone? Why not everyone? And we do know that Jesus' message is meant for all, not just of one race or kind, but to all living beings. Some of us went down to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, 5, 6, 7 years ago to a wisdom retreat where Cynthia Bourgeau brought by Zoom the morning message, this foundational book that Debbie mentioned that we'll be looking at in adult ed, The Wisdom Way of Knowing, Reclaiming an Ancient Tradition to Awaken the Heart. Reclaiming an Ancient Tradition to Awaken the Heart. What is wisdom? She says, in essence, wisdom means not knowing more, but knowing with more of you, knowing deeper. You've heard Pastor Debbie talk about the three ways of knowing. that we use our mind, most of us probably too much. We use our heart, our emotional center, and our moving center. And it's basically claimed in wisdom teachings that unless all three centers are awake and online and serving us, we're asleep. We're asleep. And that spoke to me because this is where I live most of the time. I'm slowly learning how to move in, down into the heart. I think many of you who are doing Tai Chi or yoga or so forth are way far beyond me in terms of working with the body wisdom. But those three centers are so important into deepening our receptivity. Our receptivity to deep knowing and hearing the voice of God and the truth that he seeks to speak to each of us. Cynthia said in this introduction to this book, I realized that the thirst for deeper water, the thirst for deeper water had been the heart of my own quest all these years, and that I had found the depth in wisdom. That was her experience, and so she entered into it deeply and is now a leading wisdom teacher. Living water. We come to a well because we thirst. People who live in a desert climate know the value of water, probably more than we do. It's so vital for life. And we, as finite human beings, we thirst. We need things on a continuing basis to quench our thirst. We need water. We need food. We need touch. We need affirmation. We need enjoyment. We need meaningful work. All kinds of things we need. And we thirst for them, and we struggle to meet our needs. But probably most of us find that when we do that, it comes back again. In other words, it's not permanent. The thirst comes again, and we have to go out and meet our needs again and again and again. Consumerism, advertising, drawing us in, that's how America works, right? They know that we thirst, and they have exactly what we need. But it doesn't last, so we buy a new one. So that's our role. Finite beings, we discover that we thirst for all kinds of things, and we go out seeking to meet and to quench our thirst. What if there was something available that once we experienced it, it stayed with us and was a steady source of peace in this chaotic world? One of Cynthia's other books, called Mystical Hope, she writes about a kind of hope or presence that I think we're talking about in this scripture. She talks, the typical understanding of hope is for a desired outcome. I hope that Harris wins the election. No, I can't say that in the church. I hope for whatever, I hope for healing. I hope for a new job. I hope for a wonderful relationship. I hope for a healthy life. All of those are hoping for some desired outcome. And the way life works, many times those outcomes don't happen and our hopes are dashed. Sometimes it leads to a faith crisis. So Cynthia, in this book, Mystical Hope, talks about something deeper, something different, in a way of describing her understanding of this kind of hope. She said, mystical hope is not tied to a good outcome to the future. It lives a life of its own, seemingly without reference to external circumstances or condition. It has something to do with presence, not a future good outcome, but the immediate experience of being met, held in communion by something intimately at hand. It bears fruit within us at the psychological level in the sensations of strength, joy, and satisfaction, a quote, unbearable lightness of being. But mysteriously, rather than deriving these gifts from outward expectations being met, it seems to produce them from within. That's a deeper reality. Is it a living water that will quench our thirst forever? I think all of us have experienced and found some ways to experience that sense of awe and peace and being met and lifted up, opening our hearts. Something has touched us. I think of great art, standing in front of a painting by a wonderful master and just taking it in. Don't you feel something? You feel awe. You feel lifted up. Great music. Absolutely wonderful. My daughter sent me a clipping of a guest on the Tonight Show that was talking about music has the ability to raise your mood, to create happiness. Listening to great music does a chemical, gives you new endorphins, happy pills. It happens, it works. We discover that there is something within it. Wow. Walk in the woods. When I was a young boy living near a park in Brecksville, Ohio, the Emerald Necklace, as they called it, as it encircled around Cleveland, I used to spend hours walking in the woods all alone. But somehow, even at that young age, I knew it was important. One day I discovered when I was living in Wellsville, I was walking down the sidewalk, and there was two big trees, one on one side and one on the other of the sidewalk. As I walked by those two trees, I felt energy. I could close my eyes and walk, and I knew exactly when I was standing between those two trees. There was an energetic force that was, because they were facing each other and I was in the middle of it, I felt it. One tree doesn't work, you need two. But the energy is there. Ah, Louise, yes, our garden. I too invite you to go out and stand in there and just enjoy and open your, what you feel, what you sense. Cynthia talks about the moving center. It's really about sensations. What do we notice is happening with us, as well as the heart sensations. And deep human love that has such a wonderful ability to give us that sense of warmth and awe and joy. So we encounter things that touch us deeply in the sensible world, in our world around us, through and so forth. But I have a sense that there is living water, and it is the Spirit, it is of God, and that it is available to each of us. That is Cynthia's claim, and I believe it is true. Now, there's a catch for most of us. We have to tune our equipment. Our frequencies are kind of jumbled. We have to find a way to fine-tune our being so that we can receive the signals clearly in our heart. For some of us, that means meditation. Sitting quietly, letting go of thoughts, offering yourself to be open to the presence. For many, we learned about the centering prayer, which was taught to us down at that retreat. That is a wonderful way to be open to fine-tuning our being. opening our heart. For me, it often is just playing music. chanting is a wonderful way to just allow our hearts to open. So if we begin to sense that there is more to us than just that we are part of something bigger than ourselves. Some people would say that God is everywhere within us and we are in God, that we are part of this ongoing life. It's not that God is somehow way up there and wherever that is, but somehow it's all together. We're all here. We're all a part of this presence of life and of love. And in her book, Cynthia then talks about wisdom and the human response or purpose. What in wisdom's wisdom is the purpose of human beings in this created world and beyond? And she says in here, some people talk about qualities that giving them, these are the names of God. This is how we experience God in our created realm. And what might some of these names be? Peace. Gentleness. Love. Patience. Joy. Kindness. Forbearance. Self-control. She says that each of us has within us a special quality that can be shared with each other. That even in the toughest times, instead of an angry response, comes out amazing love and acceptance and forgiveness. And because of that, something changes. Something changes. So that what wisdom is saying, that we have a very vital role in this world and beyond to bring forth these qualities that in the names of God, because without these, life sinks down and there is strife and fighting and grabbing and grasping. And these can be overcome by the qualities that lift us up. These are the qualities that maybe are only can be brought forth in our created realm, in our finite realm. Our lives are vitally important then in the whole scheme of things, but especially while we are alive here on this earth. And by being together here in this congregation, it's almost a sense that we encourage and support each other in bringing forth these gifts and sharing them. We see them in each other. We admire them. They touch our hearts. Whoa! Yeah. And then out in the community, we go forth. She says on page 555 here in her book, we are talking here about transformation, of course, as a kind of sacred alchemy. And it is precisely this alchemy that defines our essential human task. The secret of our identity does not lie in the outer form or in how successfully we manipulate the outer forms of the sensible world. Rather, it lies in how we are able to set them and ourselves aflame to reveal the inner quality of their aliveness. The names of God lie coiled within the physical form of things. Think of the beauty of a flower. Our particular and uniquely human task is to spring the trap and set them free. They cannot manifest apart from the sensible realm. That's what the sensible, that's our world, is here for. But neither will they manifest automatically within it unless there is a further act of conscious transformation. That is our job. Working within the raw materials of the physical world, we are giving birthing and body to the names of God so that the invisible becomes visible. We are midwives of the spirit. Do you feel it? Have you known that? Have you seen it? Of course we have. God calls us deeply to be his children, to spring forth and give forth his Spirit, to share it with all whom we meet, to greet with open arms, open heart, and love. Thank you, Lord, for this gift. Amen.